A few years ago, I told the congregation a story about one of my very dearest friends. And I'm going to repeat a part of the story this evening because it fits so perfectly with today's gospel. And the story has to do with a girl that I met in fifth grade named Vicky Simi. And to me, she was the most beautiful girl in the class. And in seventh grade, I really had a massive crush on her. And fortunately, she had one on me for a while. And then you know how it often happens in junior high, feelings change, and she dumped me. I was so sad, so just devastated. And then in eighth grade, I had been thinking, you know, a lot about becoming a priest. In those days, young men could go to the seminary in high school, and I decided I wanted to go off to the seminary in ninth grade, and I announced it to my friends. Well, they were horrified. They thought this is terrible news, including Vicky. And so Vicky and two of her girlfriends came one day to my house while I was out in front mowing the lawn, and they said, "Look, Kevin, you're making a huge mistake, and so we are going to make a deal with you. We will give up our plans to go to Alameda High School, and we'll go to St. Joseph's High School here in Alameda if you will give up that crazy idea of going to the seminary and go to St. Joseph's with us." I mean, I was kind of stunned, you know. This girl that I was completely smitten with the previous year, now all of a sudden she's, you know, pining away for me. But I had made up my mind. I was very clear. And I told her I was going to be fine. I was going to be happy. So anyway, I went off to the seminary. And Vicky wrote me every week for a while, and I wrote her back. But, you know, I was trying to be, you know, I was kind of super idealistic young seminarian trying to be real straight arrow, and I thought, you know, this is probably not right, you know, my sending letters every week to an old girlfriend. And so I wrote her one of the stupidest letters of my life in which I told her I would have to stop writing. I mean, it was really, really dumb. And it very much hurt her. And also made her very angry. And from then on, I was like persona non grata to her and to her mother. Boy, her mother couldn't stand me after that either. I only saw her, you know, once in the next 20 years. It was at the Alameda High School graduation. I said hello to her, and she was, you know, friendly, but that was that. So 20 years go by, and I still feel bad after 20 years about what I had done to mess up a very beautiful friendship. So I decided to go to the Alameda High School 20th anniversary, reunion. And the main reason was to see her. I just needed to say I was sorry. And so anyway, went to the reunion, and she was there, and we had a great reunion together. She never mentioned anything from the past, and it was very, very sweet, actually. But I never did say I'm sorry. There just wasn't the opportunity. We're having too much fun. So I didn't see her again for a long time. She lived in the Central Valley. She married a man who was a real anti-Catholic. He was a Protestant, but who was an anti-Catholic. And she had left the Catholic Church to join his church. I wanted to keep the family all in one church. But she basically dropped out of that church. And I didn't know any of this for many years. Until January 2010. Now, here's where I told the story a few years ago. In January 2010, I'm here at St. Lucie's as pastor. And I received a call from one of Vicky's friends informing me that she was at Stanford Hospital, seriously ill with cancer, and that she urgently wished to see me. Well, I was just stunned, first to hear about the cancer and then to hear that she wanted to see me urgently. So I immediately drove to Stanford. I walked into her hospital room. We had a very emotional reunion. And she had told me that the struggle with cancer had awakened memories of her Catholic childhood. And she felt that the person who could best help her navigate back to Catholicism was me. And so we prayed together. I anointed her. And then she returned back to her home in Central Valley. And I started visiting her every month. And we had long, very beautiful conversations. And she gradually, you know, opened up more and more about this emptiness she had, that she had no relationship with God for 40 years, ever since she left the Catholic Church. And so she kind of went step by step. She started going to Mass every Sunday and was just weeping when she'd go to Mass. And after a few months of visiting her, one day, you know, she was telling me about her fears of dying because it was very serious cancer she had. And she had told me many times how much she wanted to live, to be with her grandchildren. She had 5 grandchildren. She loved them so much and wanted to watch them grow up. So she was telling me on this particular day how much she feared dying. And I said, well, I'm sure it's because you so much want to be with your grandkids, and that's what's most on your mind these days. And she said, no. What's most on my mind is I want to be forgiven, which kind of stunned me. So I said, well, you know, we hadn't talked about confession yet. So I said, well, you remember in your Catholic upbringing, we have a sacrament of forgiveness, a sacrament of reconciliation. And you've got a great priest here, you know, nearby. And why don't you, you know, go see him? I'm sure he'll be very, you know, good with you. She said, no, I want you to hear my confession, which kind of surprised me. So I said, well, of course. So she made a very beautiful confession. And then the next month, when I came to visit her, she again wanted to go to confession. So she did. And then I had this inspiration that had been brewing inside of me for 40 years. And I said, and Vicky, I want to go to confession to you. She was kind of shocked. And so I kind of finally told her that for 40 years, I had felt bad about cutting off the relationship when we were in 9th grade and how stupid it was. And I went on and on. You know, I was all emotional. And, you know, she's just listening, you know, calmly. And finally, at the end of my big song and dance, she says, you know, Kevin, I don't remember any of that. You know, and I just spilled my guts out, and she has no memory of any of this, you know. She says, but whatever it was, I forgive you. But it was a very beautiful moment. Well, she was doing all right for a few months, but then she started going down. The tumors came back. And she finally just reconciled herself that she wasn't going to live much longer. And because she had come back to Jesus, had come back to the Catholic Church, she had the resources. She had the spiritual resources to accept her death with peace. She didn't want to die, but she accepted it. And she died a beautiful death. And I celebrated her funeral, which was one of the most emotional funerals I've ever celebrated. And I thought so much about today's gospel, which really was a story about Vicky and so many people like her, who maybe have been distant from the Lord for a long time or never have known the Lord. And then near the end of their lives, they open up to him, they come to him, and they receive the fullness of what Jesus wants to offer us. So, of course, in the parable that we heard today, the owner of the vineyard needed laborers, so he went out early in the morning, hired some, then hired them midday, hired them in the mid-afternoon, and then some just an hour before quitting time. And at the end of the day, he calls them all, and as you heard, they all received the same daily wage, even though the last group had only worked 1 hour. And those who had worked the whole day complained to the owner, and his answer was, "Are you envious because I am generous?" The owner of the vineyard was concerned about the happiness and the welfare of all the people he encountered. He didn't care how long they worked. And of course, the owner represents the Lord. The important thing in the story is that the workers accepted the invitation to help him in his vineyard. And God's generosity provides equal access and equal enjoyment of rewards in the kingdom of heaven for both early and latecomers. Vicky left the church for 40 years, and she said she had almost no relationship with God throughout those 40 years. She knew that she could have lived a happier life and a richer life if she had been living with the Lord during those 40 years. But near the end of her life, she returned to the Lord, and she had the same closeness as someone who had never left the Lord. Now, you know, from some worldly perspective in terms of economics, it doesn't seem fair. What if you've been faithful Christian your whole life and, you know, you've followed the commandments of the Lord, you've been faithful to prayer, and somebody else who at the very end, they've been unfaithful, they've been just carousing and wasting so much time, but at the end, and they get the same reward as you? That's right. That is the way God thinks. Not the way human beings think, but that's the way God thinks, Jesus tells us. And it's such good news. It's such good news. And you see the importance of every Catholic and every other Christian evangelizing. Evangelizing means tell people about Jesus Christ. What better gift could you give another person than to share your love for Jesus Christ? People who live without him, there's this emptiness. There's this hole in the soul, this void. What greater gift could you offer someone than to invite them, say, you know, just say, you know, something very simple like, have you ever thought about who is he? Who is he? Have you ever thought that maybe God actually loves you personally and wants to do anything for you to have a great and beautiful life? You want to come with me over to St. Lucie's next Sunday night, 6 o'clock? Yeah, just something like that. Maybe they say, no, forget it. No. But you might have planted a seed. You see how important it is that we have volunteers in our life teen ministry and our catechetical ministry to pass on to the teens of our parish and the children of our parish the greatest possibility in all of life to know God personally and to live with God in heaven forever. What greater gift could we ever offer someone? So at this Mass, we're going to highlight those people who are doing it explicitly as life teen members, as confirmation volunteers, as catechists. But it's not just for them. It's for you. It's for you, every one of us. Because I'm never going to meet 0.1% of the people in your life. You can't expect the priest to do it. It's got to be you. And when you really take that seriously, the Lord will give you the words. He'll give you the inspiration at the time when you need it. You just trust him. So at this moment, I would like to invite Andrew Brown, our Director of Faith Formation, to come and invite our ministers of Word and youth to come forward.